We will turn our thoughts now to the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God." I was thinking at the outset that we're all led by something to do what we do. We don't just automatically go out here and do something. We're led to do it. But there are different things that lead people to do what they do. And everything that people do isn't led by the Spirit of God, but they're led by something. It would be well for you and me to recognize that since we are led by something, and we don't act independently on our own, that the best thing for us to be led by would be the Spirit of God. Amen. And that we would submit to Him. Some people are led in their speech and in their actions by impulses. Spur of the moment things. Impulsive people are difficult because many times they do things without thinking them through. And they act on the spur of the moment. And are activated by impulses. Peter was a man somewhat like that. Peter had to back up several times. And he got into some pretty close corners by his impulsiveness. Oftentimes we hear it said of people when they have acted in some way or spoken in some way, "Well, they're such an impulsive person." But a person of that nature needs to seek to be healed of that. Because that isn't a good thing to direct our course in life. Impulses. Yet many are led that way. And people being led that way create difficult circumstances sometimes. And things hard to handle. Some people are led by emotions. That's difficult too. When we allow our activities and our speech to be directed by our emotions, and our attitudes to be governed by our emotions, that's difficult. That's bad when you got a group of people together, and if every one of them is led by their emotions, you can get into some pretty complicated cases sometimes. We need to get victory over our emotions. We need to be healed of emotionalism. You've heard me say numbers of times, and you'll hear me say it numbers of times more perhaps, that there are many things that people need to be saved from besides sin. And when you get saved from sin, then you're just getting into an area where you can begin to be saved from some of these other things. Everything that is undesirable for us, God can heal us of. Let us not settle cheap. Let us not say this is just my nature. Salvation changes people's nature. A full and free and uttermost salvation, saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit, makes one a new creature. Amen. It will change their nature. Sometimes people say, my daddy was this way. His daddy before him was that way. And I'm this way. It just runs in our line. I've always been this way. Well, I say it's time for you to quit being like you've always been. And to take on a new nature and a new disposition. Quit being like you've always been. We believe and teach that a full and free and uttermost salvation, saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, delivers us from the depravity of nature that we got from our father Adam. If that is true, then why would it be thought a strange thing that we could be delivered from what we got from our daddy, our immediate forebears? We go way back there to Adam, we get delivered from what we got from him. But somehow or other, we think we can't get delivered from what we got from our immediate forebears, our parents. That's just deep in our nature. So we allow that to govern our lives and to activate us in our thinking and in our speaking and in our acting and doing. That's being led by emotions many times. And that's poor leading. You hear expressions like this by people sometimes, that they're emotionally disturbed. And when they're emotionally disturbed, they're unbalanced. That's something that's dealing with their emotions. Emotionalism is not a good guide or leader for us in our way of life. Some are led by want-tos. If they want to do a thing, they feel led to do that. They're just led by want-tos, by their desires. It doesn't make any difference how far off course the thing may be, I'm led to do this because I want to. By the same token, some are led by don't want to's. I don't want to do this, so I don't feel led to do this. Maybe on the other side of the ledger, that's something that would be glorifying to God and helpful to the work of God, but I don't want it, so I'm not led to take hold of that. and undertake that. Those are uncertain leadings. Will lead you and me far afield sometimes from what God would have us to go and to do. We should never be led by want-tos or don't-want-tos, because that affects our humanity. And if we are led by something pertaining to our humanity, that'll get us clear off course from serving God in the Spirit and worshiping God in spirit and in truth. We should not even consult our want-tos and don't-want-tos in any given matter, but we should humble our hearts and pray and consult the Spirit of God for leadings to help us to know what the will of the Lord is. George Mueller said that one of the ways that he discerned the will of the Lord in his life was that he would pray till he could thoroughly commit the matter he was praying about into the hands of the Lord until it didn't make any difference to him which way it went. I've heard folks say, "I wouldn't turn my hand over for the difference." Well, that's what George Mueller was talking about. He prayed till he reached a point where he wouldn't turn his hand over for the difference, for it to be or not to be. Then he said when he had reached that point, as he continued to pray, if the thing still pressed on him, he accepted it as the will of God. We ought to cast aside our want-tos and don't-want-tos and humble our hearts and seek God for His will and do it if it's something we don't want to do. Or if it's refraining from something we want to do real bad, that wouldn't make any difference. Some people are led by opinions. I remember participating one time in a debate in school, and it was in regard, I forget what was said over against this, but it had to do with public opinion, and I remember one point in my speech in that debate was that public opinion was as changeable as the Oklahoma wind. Now, if you know anything about Oklahoma, well, you know that is pretty changeable. And that's just the way that public opinion is. Folks, you're on a pretty uncertain course when you allow yourselves to be led by public opinion, by what people think. Sometimes we refrain from doing our duty because we're afraid of what people will think about what we do or what we say. In such a case, we'll never do anything because we're always going to have people to deal with. The Word of God says that the fear of man brings a snare. And for you and me to get to fearing men and fearing the opinions of men will bring us under a snare that will put us in bondage so we'll never do anything in the service of God. And such an uncertain course it is to set our sails by public opinion. Yet many people are led that way. Led by opinions. Some are led by influences. And we're likely to get into a considerable lot of trouble by being led by influences. Paul mentions a case like this in 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter and the 10th verse. In this chapter, he's discussing the thought of conscience and brings it up under the heading of eating meat that's sacrificed to idols. Some thought they could eat it and some thought they couldn't. They counted it a sacred thing because it had been offered in sacrifice. And therefore, they could not eat of it. Paul argued that there was just one God, and we know that there's just one God, and the sacrifice is nothing, and the idol is nothing, and it's good food, and it's to be received with thanksgiving and perfectly all right to eat it. Now, he argued that. But now he admonishes us in this 10th verse. Let me read verse 9. He says, "But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." Then he goes ahead to show us the consequences of being led by influences. "For if any man see thee which hath knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols?" Led by influences. He saw somebody else do it. He thought it was all right for him to do it. "And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died." Now he'll perish because he violated his conscience and went contrary to what he thought was right. The important thing here is not whether it was right or not, but what he thought was right. He went contrary to that. Crossed over his conscience, and the Bible said that he'd perish in doing that. What we need to realize is that we're the guardian of our own soul. And we are enjoined in the Scriptures to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. This is one case where it's every fellow for himself. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And we're the guardian of our own soul, and it depends on us how things are going to come out with us. And when it comes to this, we're an individual before God. And we should not be influenced by anything or anybody, but that we act as an individual before God. If a thing affects you adversely in a spiritual way, don't even stop and waste time trying to figure out whether it's right or whether it's wrong. Whether it's sin or whether it isn't. Remember, you're the guardian of your own soul. And you need to be building up your spiritual life and deepening your spirituality. And if a thing affects you in an adverse way, don't waste time trying to figure out whether it's sin or whether it isn't or whether God's Word condemns it or what not. Just remember, it doesn't do me any good. And don't waste any time trying to figure out why some other folks do it and I can't do it. That's none of our business. We're to look after ourselves. But people are led by influences. And sometimes that isn't good. Paul said in Galatians, the first chapter and the 10th verse, he says, but do I now persuade God or men? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I would not be the servant of Christ. Paul was a man that set a straight course and influences didn't bother him. He was not swerved from his course by influences. In 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, in verse 16, he gives a striking example of this. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but they all forsook me. But he stood his ground. And he said, howbeit the Lord stood with me and comforted me. That was all the evidence he needed. Paul was not acting and being led in his conclusions by influences or opinions, but by definite, deep, personal convictions that persuaded him in a certain course of life. And if everybody forsook him and went away, he stayed by those same convictions and went right on through. Led by the Spirit of God. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, in verse 16, he says, henceforth, therefore, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. It's all in the Spirit in serving Christ. And in our relationship with Christ and the disciples of Christ, it's all in the Spirit. We know no man after the flesh. Paul said in the 6th chapter of Ephesians in verse 10, he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Oh, God help you and me at this point. That we'll be able to get all the flesh and blood out of it. We'll not be influenced by flesh and blood, or we'll not be antagonistic with flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Folks, we've got enough to handle right there. Amen. Without contesting with one another. Flesh and blood, personality clashes. Taking sides, one for another and one against another. To get flesh and blood out of it would completely eliminate that kind of thing. And it wouldn't be a matter of taking sides with or against one another. It'd just be a straight course right on through and let things fall as they would. We'd just keep on our course. Paul said like this in 2 Corinthians 10th chapter and verse 12. He says, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. For they, comparing themselves by themselves and measuring themselves among themselves, are not wise. It's not wisdom to be led by influences, by opinions. Now, I get the thought that measuring ourselves by ourselves, some people do that, you know. Well, I'm not quite as bad off as I used to be. That's measuring yourself by yourself. And so they feel pretty well pleased and satisfied. I'm not as bad off as I used to be. Well, that's good. That's some progress. But that's not the place to stop. Maybe you're not near well enough off yet. You might still have a considerable distance to go, even though you're not as bad off as you used to be. Comparing yourself now with what you used to be, that's not the thing. And measuring themselves by themselves, that's saying, well, so-and-so does so-and-so. They don't have any right to say anything to me. I do this that they don't like, and they do that that I don't like. And I'm as well off as they are. And if so-and-so makes it, I'll make it. Which is the worst, what they do or what I do? That isn't the question. That ought to never be a question with any of us. We ought not to become so negative in our thinking that we would even think which is the worst. We ought to be thinking positive all the time, which is the best. Amen. And which is the most glorifying to God. There are many more things could be said at this point. But I want to get in a few thoughts regarding being led by the Spirit of God. We've discussed a number of other ways that people are led. And it's a little bit sad for me to say this, but I fear that many people are led by these other means more than they are the Spirit of God. But my text says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. What does that mean? Does that have any importance? To me, it means that I cannot be a son of God by myself. I must be led by the Spirit of God in those ways that makes me a son of God and keeps me a son of God. Amen. And that we cannot maintain this kind of a relationship with God without being led by the Spirit. He will lead us into that way of life and into those things that will keep us in favor with God and His grace flowing in our souls. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, it's important that we learn to be led by the Spirit of God. In the 9th chapter of Mark, in the 2nd verse, He says, and after 6 days, He taketh Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And He was transfigured before them. Christ wants to reveal Himself to you in a way that'll make him real to you. Make him close to you. Christ wants to be a reality in the hearts and lives of all of his people. And if we will allow him, he will lead us in ways and into places and circumstances and conditions where he will have opportunity to reveal himself in a greater, fuller, more perfect sense than he would have under ordinary circumstances of life. Now these folks, Peter and James and John, they had been with Jesus when he raised the dead. They had been with him when he cleansed the lepers. They had been with him when he fed the multitudes with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They had been with him in the happy days of his ministry when multitudes followed him. They had heard the gracious words that fell from his lips. And they had marveled at his power and at his presence. And his works. But in the face of all of that, they had never seen him like they saw him in that high mountain apart. He was transfigured before them. I don't know what you think of this, but I say that Christ took on his glorified form right there before Peter and James and John in that high mountain apart. And his raiment became white like the light. And his countenance was changed. He became glorified right there before them. They'd never seen him like that before. He wants to reveal himself to you and me in his glory. He wants to be intimate with you and me. He wants to be real to us. It adds considerable dignity to Christian living to just be conscious of a real person, the real person of Christ, living in your soul. That's what he wants. He wants to reveal himself to you in that way. And if you will allow him to lead you, he'll lead you into those places and conditions and circumstances of life where that he can be revealed to you in a greater and fuller sense. And you will be permitted to see the King in his glory. In the 27th Psalm, in the 11th verse, he says, lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. The margin says, because of those who observe me. There are people observing you and observing me. We're set up as a target to be shot at, so to speak. And we're set up on a pedestal for people to look at. Living examples of the grace of God. And he says, lead me in a plain path because of those that observe me. Those that are watching me. Somebody's watching you. Maybe many people are watching each one of you. And they know when you make a slip. People aren't as ignorant as we give them credit for in spiritual things. They have a pretty good idea about what a Christian ought to do. And if you err from that, they'll catch it. Maybe a little slip that you wouldn't pay any attention to, wouldn't even know you made it. They'll know you made it. They'll catch it. Somebody wrote a poem, and I don't remember now if I ever knew who wrote this, but he says, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. People want to see you and me living what the Bible teaches a Christian ought to live. They want to see examples of this worked out right before them, so that they can be convinced of the workability of it, the practicality of it, that it's a practical something. Christianity is the most practical thing there is. And it's the most workable thing all the time that there is Christianity. But people want to be convinced of that. The psalmist realized this and how important it was, the position that he stood in, and he said, lead me in a plain path because of this. If every one of us would take time out to seek the will of God and the divine guidance of God in our steps, one at a time, and in our doings as we do them, we'd be much more successful in being a living example to those who are watching us and in being a light to the world. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. In the 23rd Psalm, the second verse, he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The next verse says, he restoreth my soul and leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. First, let us notice, he leadeth me beside the still waters. And I was thinking of when God made Adam and Eve in the beginning, and he put them in the Garden of Eden. How he came down, the scripture says, in the cool of the day, and walked with them, and talked with them. They held sweet communion in the cool of the day. Folks, in the hustle and bustle and turmoil of this day in which we're living, we badly need some cool of the day experiences. We very much need to be led by the still waters into places of calmness and quietness, restfulness, peacefulness. The prophet Isaiah said, the works of righteousness shall be peace, and the effects of righteousness quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in peaceable habitations and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places, when it shall hail coming down on the forest. That's been a wonderful text to me ever since I found it. And to think that we could be in the shelter of His wings, under the protection of His arm, the song says there's peace in the midst of trouble, there's peace in the midst of the storm, with a hailstorm going on all around us and beating everything down on every side, we can just rest in a sure dwelling place, in a quiet resting place. Peace. We get so anxious. We get so disturbed. We get so agitated that we can't sit still. We can't wait. Somebody said to me the other day, talking about their problem, said the Lord had told them, just be still. God would say that to all of us if we'd listen. Whatever's going on, or however it looks like things is falling apart and going to pieces, just be still. Folks, we need some cool of the day experiences. We need those experiences down by the still waters, calm, quiet, restful, peaceful places. Peace in our soul. When you get agitated and you get anxious, the Spirit of the Lord never led you into that turmoil and state and condition. He would lead you into calmness and quietness and just be still. Brother Benson said when he was in a severe conflict a while back and he was praying away in the night, couldn't sleep, and he was praying. And he said the Lord just spoke to him and said, just wait on the Lord. And he says, that's what I'm doing. I'm still doing that. Just wait on the Lord. That's the way the Spirit of the Lord will lead you. Beside the still waters, the cool of the day experiences. Then he said, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Folks, there's just one thing that you need to do and be sure of, and that is that you're being led by the Spirit of God, and you know that's right. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. However the Spirit of the Lord leads you and me, that's right, regardless of whatever thoughts we might have about it or whatever opinions might be brought to bear against our decisions and our doings or whatever influences might try to be exerted upon us, that's right the way the Lord's leading. Amen. Maybe we can't see the end. The song says, God's way is best. I will not murmur, although the end I may not see. We may not see the end. But just however the Lord's leading and you have His Spirit bearing witness with your spirit and that deep, settled peace and conviction in your heart that the Lord is at hand and He's leading you, that's right, however it looks. And He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, it means a great deal to God for you and me to be right. We're representing Him. We're epistles known and read of all men. And we're representing God and God's workmanship. The Apostle Paul said, ye are God's workmanship. And people are judging God's abilities and powers and workmanship by what is working out in your life and mine as we profess His name. Means a great deal to God for you and me to be right. But we can't be right without being led by the Spirit of God. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. We all like to be right, do we not? Don't we all feel better when we're in the right than we do to be found in the wrong? If you're found in the wrong, be humble and be willing to correct the wrong and correct course there and straighten things out. But it's a lot better and we feel a lot happier if we're found in the right. It's just a good thing to be right, and it's a good feeling to be right. And to be found in the right. But beyond that, it's important to God that you be right. So he leads you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, to glorify his name. And as you name his name, Jesus is very particular about his name and who calls his name. And he says, let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. He wants to be represented right. So he leads us that way. The 24th chapter of Joshua in verse 3, he said, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and gave him Isaac. God did this. The important thing I'm thinking of at this point is that he led him throughout all the land of Canaan. And I believe it's in the 48th or 49th Psalm, I'm not certain for sure, where he said, arise, walk about Zion. Mark ye well her bulwarks, that ye may tell it to the generations following. Explore Zion. But folks, when you go to explore Zion, you need a guide that knows his way around there. I was spending some hours one time in the city of New Orleans. I've been in New Orleans a good many times, but this particular time I had a few hours there. And I wanted to see some of the city. But I was conscious of the fact that I didn't know the city. And I didn't know my way around. And that if I started out there by myself, I wouldn't get very far. I wouldn't see many things. And I wouldn't know the importance of the places that I had seen when I did see them. So I just went down and bought me a ticket and paid my fare on a sightseeing bus. And I got on there with some fellas that knew that city. Knew their way around there. And I made a trip around with those fellows, and they went to a good many places of interest and lectured as they went and explained what's the historical background of this place and the interests of this place and what this is and that is. And when I got back, I realized that I knew more about New Orleans in those 2.5 hours or so than I would have perhaps in a week or more just wandering around there by myself. When you and I go to delve into spiritual things and read God's Word and search out His truth, we need someone leading us that knows His way around there. And that one is the Spirit of God Himself. Jesus said, when He has come, He will guide you into all truth. My text that I'm working on now said that He led Abraham throughout all the land of Canaan. And the Spirit of God will guide you and me into all truth. Some folks think that if we understood all there is written in the Bible, no man could ever do that and comprehend that, that we'd be as smart as God. But I don't agree with that. I don't think God put everything in the Bible that He knew. He put in the Bible what He wanted us to know. And what we need to know for our good, for our spiritual development, and for our defense against the enemy of our souls and the deceptions that are rampant in the world today. But it's His good will that you and I encompass the truth. That we know the truth without any lack. He He'll guide you. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He'll guide you into all truth. And He knows His way around there. And you're not wasting any time when you take time out at the time of your devotions to get down on your knees with the Bible open before you and say, "Now, God, I'm going to look into Your Word, and I want You to send Your Spirit now to inspire my understanding of just what You want me to know today." He led him throughout all the land of Canaan. And He'll lead you and me throughout all the truth if we'll just be led. And if we will submit ourselves to Him. Amen.